We are talking about the great cloud of witnesses, the people in the stands, if you will, who are cheering us on as we run this race of faith, this life that we have in the Lord. We start with Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, enduring its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God." He's got the center seat in the cloud of witnesses. And this is a race of faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And then we see in verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11 is kind of a hall of fame, a hall of faith of those who are already in the great cloud of witnesses, who demonstrated by their lives that they completed that race, and they are cheering us on right now. Some of us have lost loved ones who we know are with the Lord because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, and we know that they're up there cheering us on as well. And so we've heard from Cain, telling us why he's not in that great cloud of witnesses, but why his brother Abel was. We've heard from Enoch, who walked with God and never experienced physical death. God took him up. We heard from Noah. We heard from Abraham. We heard from the lovely Sarah last week. By the way, if you've missed any of these messages, they're on our church website. You can go back and listen to the audio there as well. But I mentioned last week that Abraham was coming back. And if he shows up, I believe he's bringing his son Isaac with him and his grandson Jacob. Abraham, did you make it? Of course he did. You were never in any doubt, were you? Neither was I, really. Okay, this makes great radio, too. I know, you've already met me, but I didn't tell you my whole story. I know you heard from my wife last week, Sarah. Isn't she a lovely woman? I don't know what your pastor's talking about. She is the most adorable woman I've ever met. That's why I married her. Amen. But believe it or not, Sarah didn't tell you the whole story either. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said about me. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac, that's my son, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, my grandson, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. So, you didn't hear the whole story yet. That's why I came back. You might remember that God promised us a son. I was 100 years old, and Sarah was 99 when God kept that promise. We had a son. We named him Yitzhak, Isaac, because we both laughed. We both laughed when God gave us the news. Yitzhak, Isaac, means laughter. Allow me to introduce you to that son of the promise, my son Isaac. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate your example of faith. Although my parents were, how do I put this delicately? Well, old when they had me, somehow God gave them the strength to keep up with the diaper changing, the terrible twos, and the constant questions the child asks. I followed Dad everywhere. He taught me to trust God. He taught me to obey God no matter what. One day as I was playing in the yard, well, everything really was the yard. We lived in a tent in the desert. One day while I was playing in the yard, my father came to me and said, "Isaac, let's go. We're going to the hills for a camping trip. We're going to offer a sacrifice to God when we get to the top of the hill." "That's great," I said. "Let's go. I love hiking the hills, and I love giving sacrifices to God." As we climbed the hill, I noticed something very, very strange. After all, I'd gone on this trip with my father many times before. My dad was constantly making sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. He made sacrifices for our sins as well. My dad taught me that worshiping God this way was one of the most joyful experiences a person can have. He taught me that we were to take a spotless lamb and present it to God as a burnt offering. Isaac, would you mind if we backtrack a minute? "Sure, Dad. Go ahead." You see, what Isaac didn't know at the time was that God called out to me. One day, as I was supervising my staff, my employees, I heard, "Abraham! Abraham!" I said, "Here I am, Lord. What's up?" Well, might not have said, "What's up?" You won't believe what he told me. You won't believe it. "Abraham, I want you to take Isaac to the hills of Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to me as a burnt offering." I couldn't believe it. This was the Lord who called me out of the pagan Babylonian Empire, where the priests of the false gods demanded child sacrifices? How can this be? And what am I going to tell Sarah? As she always says, "Oy vey." But I learned to trust God completely. But now, how can I trust a God who demands something so contrary to his character? I can't completely explain it. But somehow, God gave me the grace to trust him, even when it didn't make sense. That's why I have the honor and joy of being in the great cloud of witnesses to cheer you on when your race leads you to a difficult choice, to a difficult place. So the next day, Isaac and I began our hike. "Back to you, son." "Right, Dad, thanks." As we got closer to the top of the hill, my dad told the servants who came with us, "You guys stay here. Isaac and I will do the rest of the hike and the sacrifice by ourselves. We will worship God and we will come back to you." Did you hear what I said? What my dad said? Remember this statement: "We will come back to you." So we were hiking up the hill, as I said, and I noticed something was missing. We had the wood for the sacrifice. We had the torch for the sacrifice. One thing was missing. We had no sacrifice. There was no lamb, goat, sheep, or even a pigeon. I said, Dad, I think we're missing something. Where's the sacrifice? Do you remember what you said, Dad? I sure do, son. I told you, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Don't worry about it. Dad, you have a good memory for a man of your age. I'll keep going, all right? So we got up to the top of the hill. I helped Dad prepare for the sacrifice. I helped him build the altar. We found stones, and of course, I did most of the heavy lifting. I helped him arrange the wood. But then something strange happened. Dad grabbed me. He tied me up. Somehow, despite his advanced age, he lifted me to the top of the altar. Did I struggle? Did I fight? What do you think? Dad drew his long knife and held it over me when suddenly the Lord called his name again. Abraham, Abraham. Again, my dad said, "Here I am, Lord. What's up?" Actually, Isaac, I don't think I said what's up that time. But I must admit, I was relieved when he called my name. I was a bit relieved too, Dad. Yes, I was very relieved. Because the Lord told my dad to not lay a finger on me. God said, "Abraham, now I know you completely trust me. You have not even refused to offer your son, your only son. Well done." Phew. Dad and I were both shedding tears of joy. Then we looked up. And guess what we saw? You won't believe this. There was a ram, not a Dodge. There was a ram caught in the shrubs. Now we did have a sacrifice of thanksgiving for God. And God himself provided it. Do you remember what my father told the servants when before we headed to the top of the hill? Let me remind them, Isaac. Let me remind them. I said to the men, "Stay here. We will head up to the top to worship and we will return." You see, I believed if God really demanded my son as a sacrifice, he would raise him from the dead. That's why I said, "We will return." That was my complete trust in God. Why did I believe this? Because God promised me descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky through Isaac, through the son of promise. Isaac was just a kid. I knew that somehow God would never fail to keep his promise. Never, never. He never fails to keep a promise. One of your scholars agrees with me. Somehow I found this scholar with your pastor's help. Let me quote. On the one hand, God had demanded the sacrifice of Isaac. On the other hand, the same God has promised to Abraham a posterity through Isaac. The writer of Hebrews speculates that Abraham must have thought it possible that God would let Isaac be sacrificed and then bring him back to life, and concludes that this was in a sense what happened. In a sense, Abraham received his son back from the dead. I'm sure glad about that, Dad. And sure enough, God kept that promise. I eventually married a beautiful girl named Rebecca. We had two sons, twins, Esau and Jacob. This is where I'd like to take over, Dad. I've been standing here quietly while you and Grandpa have been going, I should say you and Saba, have been going on and on and on. Go ahead, Jacob. You're right, son. It's your turn. Thanks, Dad. This is like multiple personality disorder. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Grandpa. Sure enough, God kept his promise. My twin brother and I became the progenitors. Love that word. We became the progenitors of great nations. My brother Esau and I had a few problems. You might call it sibling rivalry. It's a long story. I won't go into the whole story now, especially the two older guys took so much time. But I guess you probably need to know that I cheated my brother out of his inheritance. Now, my dad, at that time, was blind. Remember that, Dad? I sure do. Well, I pretended to be Esau and cheated him out of everything. As a matter of fact, my name Jacob means cheater. Cheater. Imagine that in our family. Laughter says, here's cheater. All right, well, stick to the script. While I was on the run, I had an encounter with God himself. I actually wrestled with God all night long. I wouldn't give up. And then he touched my hip, and all of a sudden, I was in agony. I walked with a limp the rest of my life. But I got something else beside that limp. He gave me a new name. He changed my name. You know what he changed my name to? Israel. Israel. He changed my name from cheater to the one who struggled with God and prevailed. Israel. Struggled with God and prevailed. Are any of you struggling with God today? I can tell you, you can prevail. I wrestled him physically. You wrestle him in prayer. And you can prevail. Esau and I, by the way, we eventually reconciled. He founded a great nation. So did I. Now, compared to my father and my grandfather, who weren't as prolific as I had 12 sons. I lived long enough to see all 12 of my sons grow up. One of my sons even became the prime minister of Egypt. You'll hear from him soon, so I won't steal his thunder. Just know this for now. Because my grandfather and father trusted God completely, I was able to see God's great promise begin to move toward fulfillment as I became Israel, the father of God's holy nation. I lived long enough to bless all of my sons and Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, my grandsons, who would represent the future tribes of the nation that bears the new name God gave me. I think that nation even still exists today in your time, Israel. Well, thank you, grandson. Will you and your dad allow me to share with these good people in Randolph what we'd like to tell them as members of that great cloud of witnesses? By now, you've probably noticed we keep reminding you, as members of the great cloud of witnesses, that you must trust God completely. You must trust God completely. I hear that everyone, I said it myself a couple of weeks ago. Sarah said it. Noah said it. Enoch said it. Cain told you that Abel would have said it to you. And I have a feeling that everyone who comes after me in the weeks ahead here is going to tell you as well. You and I need to trust God completely as we run this race of faith. But what I would say to you based on my experience with my son and what he experienced with his grandson and what he experienced with his 12 sons is that even when God demands something unconscionable of us, even when God demands something unconscionable of us, we still trust him. We still trust him. Although Isaac and Jacob join me here in encouraging you to never doubt God, we know it's true. We encourage you this because he has never failed to keep one of his promises. Never, never. You and I fail in keeping promises, but God never does. God promised me a vast real estate holding. He told me that every place where I set my foot would be mine. You know how much real estate I owned when I died? Not very much. I bought a burial plot. That was it. I never really realized all that God was going to give me. Neither did Isaac. Neither did Jacob. But we trusted him even though we never took possession of the promised land. I never once doubted he would fulfill his promises to my descendants. I might have been a stranger in a strange land. Isaac and Jacob were too. But eventually, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought millions of our descendants to that land flowing with milk and honey. As we cheer you on from that great cloud of witnesses, may we also encourage you to worship God with reverence and joy. We did that, and we didn't know as much as you know. We didn't have the Bible. There was nothing written in my day. But we worshiped God. And you need to worship God with reverence and joy as well. Remember, as Isaac and I were climbing that hill, we didn't know how it would end for sure. But we learned that there's great joy when we worship God in fear and in reverence. My grandson Jacob even worshiped the Lord as he blessed his sons and his grandsons, holding his staff as he took his last breath. And one more message for you. Expect a demonstration of God's grace as you run the race of faith, would you? Expect a demonstration of God's grace. I wasn't completely sure what God would do on the top of that mountain. But I knew I was coming down that mountain with my son somehow. I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I knew I was coming down that mountain with him. I'm sure my son Isaac and his son Jacob could tell you similar stories of demonstrations of his grace. You too can expect a demonstration of his grace. You too can expect a demonstration of his grace as you run the race that God has set for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, as these gentlemen just told you, handsome gentlemen, and as the others in the past weeks, and those will be coming next week, I believe next week Joseph will be here next week. Yep, Joseph. They're all going to tell you, trust God completely. Trust God completely. That's what faith is. That's why Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Faith is trusting God completely. I don't know what God has before you and me. We're barely 2 months into the new year. And some of us have already experienced challenges. Some of us are still waiting for resolution in some things that in our lives. We don't know what to expect, do we? Not completely. But you and I need to trust God completely. Amen? And then we should never doubt that God will keep his promises. We should never doubt that God will keep his promises. There's Abraham climbing that hill, Mount Moriah, where the temple would eventually be built by Solomon, where Jesus would teach, that same spot. Abraham had no idea how God would keep a promise that through Isaac, all he would be blessed as the father of many nations. That he would be blessed with descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. But he didn't doubt. He didn't doubt that God would keep his promises. That's why he said to those men with him, his servants, we will return. We will return. You might be going through a real difficult place now. You might be thinking, Jesus, are you really with me always, even till the end of the age? Are you really going to provide all my needs through Christ Jesus? Are you really going to give me that peace that passes all understanding? Remember Abraham and Isaac. Remember Jacob as he's wrestling with God until he blesses him. Never doubt. Never doubt that God will keep his promises. Amen? And then worship him with reverence and joy. Now, we worship a little differently than Abraham. We don't climb hills. We don't offer lambs or rams or goats or bulls. We come and really offer ourselves to God. We come to the altar and offer ourselves. Paul says that, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable to him. This is your spiritual worship." Worship him with reverence and joy. We know so much more than Abraham and Isaac and Jacob know. They looked forward to something they could barely see. We look backward clearly to the Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And finally, expect the demonstration of his grace. You'll never know. Abraham didn't know for sure what God was going to do. But some of us who are climbing that mountain now, with dread. Do you think Abraham was happy climbing that mountain? Absolutely not. Do you think Jesus was happy carrying that cross? Absolutely not. But somehow, I can't tell you exactly how, but I know from my own life, expect the demonstration of God's grace. He is the rewarder, as Hebrews 11 says, of those who diligently seek him. That's why we're running the race, because he's standing at the finish line, the pioneer, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. And somehow, as we run toward him, we will have some demonstration of his grace many times as we run the race. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wherever he ran off to. Let's pray. Father God, I know that in this room now, there are people who like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are going through some difficult times. Help them to trust you completely. Help them to never doubt that you will keep your promises to them. Help us all to worship you with reverence and joy. And Father, we do expect demonstrations of your grace. Do something for someone in this room, someone listening, even today, where they can smile despite the clouds, despite the storms, despite climbing that awful hill, and know that you are there waiting for them with arms open wide to welcome them into your presence forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.